Thank you for listening to this message from Southwest Baptist Church in Lake Havasu City, Arizona. We are a church family desiring to point people to the glory of God. We are committed to equipping and encouraging one another in the faith and evangelizing our community together. If you want to learn more about Southwest Baptist Church, visit southwestbaptisthavasu.org. Now for this week's message from Pastor Rob Westlake.
We're going to start a new series this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 1. And the theme of this series is intentional. And we're going to walk through some things, some areas of our life, where we can see the intentionality of God at work in our lives. And this morning, we're going to start with that concept of salvation. And again, I know we've worked through and talked through this over the last couple months that we've been here, but we just see a great aspect of salvation that really should encourage, it should challenge, and it should really catapult our faith forward as we look at what God did in Saul's life and just look at his background and see how he used Saul, who became Paul, in some magnificent ways simply because of what God had allowed at the beginning of Paul's life. And so if you're there with me in 1 Timothy, you can see these words in the Bible. You can see them in your notes or you can follow them on the screen. And you see that God gives us this instruction or these words. He says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him in life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." And so this morning as we look at this idea again through this lens of our theme for the year, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We see this idea of God's intentionality in this area of our salvation and the timing around God bringing us the gospel and allowing that faith to work coupled with God's grace to bring us to the point where we can trust in Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. So as we see this beginning parts of this theme or series of intentionality, we begin with this idea of our salvation. And I want to take a very simple subject that I believe we've probably heard after coming to salvation probably hundreds and hundreds of times. And hopefully with this strategic thought, encourage you in such a way that it would impact the remainder of your life here on earth. The life account of Paul, the apostle, was one of the most dynamic accounts in all of Scripture. This was a life that we find make a very drastic 180 degree turnaround at the point of his salvation. Yeah, what I want us to understand is if we don't have an account like Paul, we still all had to make a 180 degree turn to have a change of mind and place our faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. And what we find then at that point is this opportunity to praise God with the rest of our life because of that truth of salvation that we came to believe in. And so, as we think of this idea of God's intentionality around this subject of salvation, I want us this morning to begin to focus on the background of Paul's life, the blessings of God's grace, and then finish with the intention of God for Paul's life as he moved forward from that point that he gave Paul to realize how he could live out his life for the glory of God. So if you would, notice with me again in verse 13 that Paul points out the intentionality of his life. Paul says, the intentional background of his life. Paul says, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. Man, what a way to describe your past life, right? You would think if anybody wanted to just forget his past, it would have been Paul. If anybody wanted to put his past in the past, it would have been Paul. But Paul says, hey, I want you to know who I was. Because if you can see who I was, you can ultimately see the glory of God that would bring someone like me to the point of salvation. And so you see this very dogmatic, this very ignorant fashion in which Paul lived out his life and his belief system that he had been raised in and brought up under. And I want to be very careful here as we talk about the intentionality of God's timing in our salvation, but you have to recognize that God was not taken back by the fact that Saul was born and his nature was going to be so depraved that he would be excited to see people thrown into prison and stoned to death. God wasn't taken back by that. God allowed this background in Paul's life, and we could say the God allowed background in our life has a purpose that we should not ultimately deny, but at the point of coming to Christ, we can let God transform it and use it for his honor and his glory. You will see Paul through all of his letters frequently talking about his past. But what you realize is that his past did not define his present. We need to be aware of our sinful past, but we need to let God sanctify that past and transform us into that servant that he truly created us to be. Note a social system that Paul was brought up in Acts chapter 22, verse 3. You can flip there, where I believe you can see it in your notes. In Acts chapter 22, in verse 3, Paul states this, I am verily a man which am born a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet was brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, and ye all are this day, or as you all are this day. And so you see Paul telling us about where he was born. He tells us about his upbringing and the religious structure that he was allowed to be brought up under. What you find then is Paul was born into a large city. And not just any city, but a prominent port city inside or inland about 12 miles from the Mediterranean Sea in what is now known as South Central Turkey. Notice on this map just for a second, because I want you to see where he was born. You see, I didn't get it in there, did I? Oh, man. Oh, there it is. All right. So you notice over here is Tarsus. But what you also notice are cities like Colossae and Ephesus and Cyprus and Crete and Corinth and Thessalonica and Philippi. Somebody help me out something really quickly. What do we know about all of those cities? Paul had an influence into those cities. And what you see is God allowed Paul to be born in such a place and at such a time that the gospel could go into these cities around Paul, and he would have such an impact and such an upbringing that he would have an impact in many of those cities in some varied ways. And so I just want you to see really quickly where Paul was born and what he had the opportunity to be brought up under. Now go back with me to Acts chapter 22, verse 3, and notice the system that he was brought up under. In the church, we understand by Bible terms, he was brought up under the Pharisaical system, under the leadership of Gamaliel. So by the world standards, because of where Paul was able to be born and the education that he was able to have, we would say that Paul had a great education. Now, I just want you to take a mental note of that, because you see Paul as a Jew with a great education. Now, flip over with me to Galatians chapter 1. And what we will get to see is the development of this education with this religious background. And I want you to pay very careful attention as we couple it with the personality that God birthed Paul with. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13, you see this. For ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. So you see a couple more points to the background of Paul's life here. You see the personality of Paul. He was very zealous individual. You notice that coupling together that he gives us exceeding zealous. How many of you have an exceeding zealous personality? I'm very much an all-in kind of guy for most of the part. But I don't know that I could really say I'm exceeding zealous. Maybe somebody might classify me sometimes as exceeding zealous. I don't know. But you see that Paul was very much into, he had the personality to be an all-in kind of person. But you also notice this, that he really had a passion for his faith. He had a passion for his upbringing. You notice those words in verse 14, and profit in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation. He was passionate about learning, about studying, about growing in the belief system of the Jewish Pharisaical belief system. And so you notice this background that we're given in Scripture as we look at these pieces throughout the Gospels and the book of Acts. But notice a little bit more obscure because of his teacher Gamaliel. But notice in Acts chapter 5, verse 34, that you see this passion that he had coming out of him. The disciples at Acts chapter 5, verse 34, were at this point in history where they were doing a number on that old, dusty religious establishment of Judaism, and it was creating a firestorm of persecution against them. But here, an enemy of the church would give Paul a truth indirectly that I believe Paul would carry with him from this moment on. Notice in Acts chapter 5, verse 34, it says this. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named who? Gamaliel. Gamaliel was Paul's teacher. It says that he was a doctor of the law. He had a reputation among the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. So you think about this. An enemy of this system that Jesus Christ had birthed in the disciples was now saying, let's just pause, let's slow down a little bit and think through what we're about to do. Now, verse 34, and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days arose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this, man arose up out of Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God. Now, can you imagine, really as we know it, an enemy of God was saying, hey, if God wants this to come about, you can't do anything to stop God's work. And I think Paul took that thought with him after salvation from that point on. You see this thought, if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. And this was birthed into Paul's heart and mind long before he would need that truth to keep that passion alive in many of the prisons or beatings that he would go through. But Paul and probably Gamaliel here are looking at these disciples, and what they are doing from the wrong angle at this point is using God as their defender. And yet, as we know how the story plays out, in just a short period of time, Paul would see very clearly the truth from God's perspective rather than from the Jewish religious perspective. And so, what we've seen through these verses and through these scriptures is these various parts of Paul's background. And I would encourage you to take stock in who God made you to be. Are you zealous or are you slow and steady? What sin was the root that flowered to display your depravity? What was it that God captivated your mind with that you realized, hey, I am a sinner in need of salvation? Now, don't forget that we're all sinners at one time, and you may not sit here today with the testimony of a drunkard or a wife beater or a thief, but whatever we count as a big sin against God, God spared us from every sin through Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And so don't forget that God saved you from that background that we can be very thankful for. Maybe you were on Paul's side and what we might classify as a very big sinner. Or maybe you were on the other side as maybe someone who was saved from a lot of those evils of this world. We can be very thankful, no matter how bad our background was, that God brought us from that background to that salvation point in Jesus Christ. And so think about as well that God-given desire he put within you. What is that? Is it carpentry? Is it medicine? Is it theology? Whatever it is, count it a blessing that God has given you a passion that would give you the ability and desire to work out that passion for his honor and for his glory. Think about this. Where did you come from? What city were you born in? Were you born in the north or were you born in the south? I'd encourage you to own it and let God use it. Know your background. Know what God saved you from and what saved you to. It's interesting as you think about this. Now, God's given me the ability to travel all over the place, to go into areas that I never would have ever imagined to be able to go into, to meet people I never would have imagined that I would have ever met, to now be in an area of work in machine shop that I never thought I would ever go back to. But I was just talking yesterday with a guy at work and just talking about the fact that at 18 years old, I had started into a, or 16, 17 years old, started into a machine shop in my area, building the bush bars and the side rails for pickup trucks, and grinding down the metal and getting it prepared. And I never thought I would be using that part of my background some 8 years later. No, I'm just kidding. But you think about that. You can look back and what God gave you in your past. Now, that was a very, very brief period of time for me. The owners there only kept me for 79 and a half days because if I got to 90, they had to start paying me insurance. And so they would just rotate through people like that. But here I am now. And going to pull back from way back and getting to talk about those things in my past, interacting with him. He's from Southern California. God gave my wife and I the opportunity to spend a couple months traveling through California, north, south, east, and west, and being able to talk to him about the area that he had lived in for the last several years and things that he did out there, and just being able to work through my past and use my past to hopefully begin to influence with the good news of the gospel. So I encourage you, know your past, understand your past, understand what God brought you from and what brought you to. And again, some of those deeper, darker things that started to get into conversations about alcohol and drinking and just begin to talk about those ways that God brought me out of that and the reasons for that. And I'm thankful that I can look at my past and see it redeemed, but recognize that God can help use that past to instruct and equip and encourage and evangelize those forward. So I want to encourage you to understand the intentionality of God in your background. But notice, secondly, with me this morning, this point of the intentional blessings of God's grace. Every single one of us has come to a point, to this point, and the older I get, and the more I deal with third and fourth generation Christians, the more important I believe this point is of the grace of God. You get at that point, for most of us, I believe here, you've seen the grace of God to bring you to faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You see the grace of God in an exponential factor, maybe because of your background that he saved you out of. Maybe you just see the grace of God as pure grace because you're thankful that he was able to bring salvation to your doorstep and give you the gospel, even though you weren't a very big sinner, maybe in the world's mind. But you think about third and fourth generation Christians, and they struggle with the grace of God a little bit more. And I want to encourage you, and most of this rests heavily on the younger individuals here, to recognize the grace of God. Notice back with us in our text in verse 14 of 1 Timothy, you see these words, and I'll explain why I think the younger generations need to recognize the grace of God just as much as very sinful people. But in 1 Timothy, you notice these words in verse 14. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I have chief. Again, he's recognizing the abundant grace of God here in his own life because he recognizes where he stood before God. He carries on and says, howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. There's the grace of God displayed in his longsuffering hand. For this extreme sinner, the grace of God was exceeding abundant in their lives. And for so many today who would recognize that they were an exceeding abundant sinner, the exceeding abundant grace of God is so much greater. And you see that God allowed them to live even through that. Listen to stories of individuals that were just so deeply rooted in alcoholism and the stories that they have to tell about moments where they were so drunk they fell over into a fire that was burning right beside them, and by God's grace somehow they lived. You think about individuals, even talking to Brian recently here in Lake Havasu, they get so drunk that they fall on the ground in the heat of the summer and get third-degree burns, and yet they're able to get into the hospital. That's the long-suffering hand of God that is allowing them another day to live in their extreme sinfulness so that they might have the opportunity to hear the gospel. And so you see that long-suffering. And Paul says, I saw the long-suffering hand of God in my life that allowed me to live long enough to be arrested by the grace of God and saved by faith as I turned in repentance. But think about this as we establish for those that we wouldn't necessarily say were evil to the core. Paul, I believe, would say, I was evil to the core. But think about this. You still didn't deserve the grace of God as he poured it out onto your life. Think about the third and fourth generation Christians. They didn't deserve the protection provided to them by their parents. Yet God, in his long-suffering grace, gave them that protection. They didn't deserve to be shielded from R-rated movies. They didn't deserve to be shielded from the effects of alcohol and the disgusting societal norms of their day. But God, in his grace, has been exceeding abundant to them. Now, maybe as an older individual, you're still a third and fourth generation Christian, and God saved you by his exceeding grace and protected you from a lot of the evil societal norms. Don't lose sight of that grace of God that he protected you from a lot of those evils. Paul realized how evil he was, and he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. It's so easy in our day to not be thankful, to become ungrateful. And what happens when we find ourselves unthankful and ungrateful is we find ourselves running to touch the things of the world. We just want to get a taste of what God has kept us from. We want to see if it's really as bad as our pastor said it was, if it was really much a hindrance as God had displayed in the Word of God. But we need to be careful that we stay thankful, and we stay thankful so we don't run from God, but that we run continually to the grace of God and its blessings that it affords us. Think about this. Paul's testimony was birthed on the road to Damascus, and it became a testimony of gratitude because he understood he was one of those sinners that Christ Jesus came to save. And with that great excitement, we could talk for hours about the marvelous saving grace of God. But I want you to notice this third thought, God's intentional purpose for Paul's salvation. It's not just, and you'll hear me say it, you've heard me say it, and you'll hear me say it over and over again. God's purpose of salvation is not for us just to sit and to soak in the Word of God and then to sour. God has a purpose for us to serve. And that's what you see with God's intentional purpose for Paul's salvation. Look at verse 12 again. Paul says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. God gave Paul a strategic ministry of preaching the gospel to the known world around him. Each one of us has a ministry. We might call it service, but we are all ministers of the gospel. In Acts chapter 9, God gives to Paul this purpose as he leads Ananias to go speak to him. Look with me in Acts chapter 9, and you see in verse 15, and for those of you that were in Sunday school, this was the part I was talking about that kind of was that two-edged sword to my thought that I was giving you. But in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, we see these words. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. This is God speaking to Ananias to go and to speak to Paul. All right? But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you would want to know right away that you are going to suffer great things for the namesake of Christ? How many of you are thankful God hasn't outrightly told you all the things you're going to suffer? I am grateful that God has not given me all those all that knowledge. But could you imagine Paul that day? Hey, I want you to know, God just told me, you're about to suffer, right? That's going to be part of your purpose. But think about this. Imagine on the flip side of that. God has a ministry for you. You're going to go to the Gentiles and the Jews. You're going to go to the rich and the poor. You're going to have a great opportunity to share about the salvation that I have given to you. Now, Paul had this strategic ministry of preaching. He would go and share the gospel. We know that Paul was a tent maker as well. He worked a job to pay for the ministry that he did. He tells us so that he wouldn't be a burden to the church. And so you see this opportunity that he used, these gifts that he used to work so that he could fulfill that preaching. Now think about this. Some of it, or for most of us, it's flipped. God has given us the gift of some kind of tool, carpentry, medicine, something. We are still preachers, but we're using that opportunity and that purpose of being a carpenter to be a preacher of the gospel. I think I shared this once. It was interesting to me as my wife and I moved down to Charleston, South Carolina. I got involved in the church that would become our sending church as missionaries, and we met a family, just a great dynamic family, and he was a home builder. He built homes. He was a contractor, and he just had a very successful job in building homes in the Charleston area. But if I could declare one individual that I saw as a greater preacher, using a job to preach the gospel, it was this individual, just a dynamic man, just really engaged in the ministry and local church, and then got involved in just financially and physically supporting an area overseas. And I'm not going to go into it because it's a very difficult place to minister to right now. But you see that this individual used this purpose, this background of carpentry and contracting, to be a preacher. Paul had the purpose of preacher and used tent making to help him preach the gospel. And so you see this background. Either way we couple it, whether we're a preacher using a gift or whether we're a carpenter and we preach, we see this purpose that we've been given to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so you see this intention that God had. God intentionally had this purpose of putting Paul into the ministry so that he could preach. Now notice this in Acts 22:16, Paul has this God-given purpose that God called him by his grace. It says, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him, Jesus Christ, among the heathen. And so Paul's salvation, which was intentional by the grace of God, made him a showcase, made him a preacher for Jesus Christ among the heathen. Now, we understand that the heathen are those that are lost around him. So anywhere he went, he could preach the gospel because he knew that God had made him a preacher of Jesus Christ among the heathen. And so let's begin to tie all of this together and see the beauty of God's intentionality. As Paul reached out to the church at Corinth, he implored them to give to the cause of ministering to the churches at Jerusalem, just as the churches of Macedonia had promised to. Have you ever thought of why Paul had such a compassionate heart for the church at Jerusalem? Because in the background of Paul's life, Paul had put the church at Jerusalem in the state in which it was. And I believe that heart was birthed in him because he knew the persecution that happened to the church at Jerusalem was dynamically a part of Paul's life. And so at the moment of salvation, it broke his heart, and he was passionate about ministering to the Jews there in Jerusalem. Think about great individuals of God that have ministered in very difficult parts of this world. God used their dynamic and maybe difficult background and birthed out of them a ministry that was able to bring Jesus Christ into the lives of those heathens around them. I thought of just a couple people that I have become familiar with over the years. I thought of Steve Carrington. I've heard a lot about his ministry through Reformers Unanimous. He created this opportunity to minister into the lives of drug addicts and drunks and people just engaged in massive addictions that have crippled their lives. And this was birthed out of his life as an individual who turned their back on God and became a very belligerent drunk and drug addict. But because of his salvation, his heart was turned to reach the most destitute of this world, to which he created opportunity in his local church to reach these people that birthed into an organization that has been taken around, at least I know of, North America, and groups and churches all across this country are helping drug and drunks be relieved from their addiction through their knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ. See, an individual took their past with their intentional salvation and birthed a ministry to reach the heathen around them. I think of someone that you probably are all familiar of, maybe Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel birthed an evangelistic ministry of apologetics based out of his own life as an atheist. He was completely against the idea of the God of the Bible, and he simply went out to prove Christianity wrong. And in that structure, God gave him the ability to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And in that, he then wrote a book that was able to help many people understand who Jesus Christ is and create this apologetic ministry for individuals like you and I who could then defend our faith as we go out into the heathens who are not only religious elite like the Pharisees, but are who also are very atheistic or agnostic. Do you understand that we are told now that the greatest and fastest religion is called a group called the nuns? No religious affiliation whatsoever. It is now the fastest growing identified group of individuals. And the reality is the most of them are young people who were once engaged in the church and have turned their back on the church now and have no religious affiliation at all. We needed an individual like a Lee Strobel who could take dynamic verses and give us an apologetic. And so God birthed Lee Strobel. He allowed this background to take place in his life. He gave him the gospel at just the right moment in time so that today we could have a tool to take people with the word of God and minister among the heathen. You see a very structure that you see the very structure of their backgrounds, drunk and drug addict, atheist. You see that very moment that they can define when Jesus' grace was magnified and they turned in repentance and faith. And you see then a very distinct and dynamic purpose. I wonder if you can see that in your life. You see that background. Have you been able to see that moment where God's grace was shining on you at such a point where you turned in repentance and faith and placed your faith in Jesus Christ alone? But from there, do you know your distinct and direct purpose? What has God created you to do for His glory so that you can make His name known among the heathen? So you see the intentionality of God in each one of our lives for this purpose. And so I want to encourage you. Maybe you're educated. Maybe like you, you made it through your education. Think about what God can do in and through you. I've been allowed to go to places, to big cities, to speak to doctors, to speak with homeless people. I've been in foreign countries that spoke different languages and were given the opportunity to preach there. Let me just throw this out there since I just brought it up, all right? Especially for the younger people, and maybe for you as well. You can go back into your past. I grew up in Canada. I was forced in Canada to learn French all throughout my grade school education. Now, talking about racism, racism there, as much as Canadians are these loving people, was very real. I mean, we hated French people in my area very badly. So I didn't want to learn French at all. We were an English-speaking country. We should stay English, not dual language, right? All right? So 11 years of education in France, and all of a sudden we felt God leading us where? To a French-speaking country. And you know what happened when I got into that French-speaking country? I didn't know a lick of what anybody was saying because I wasted that background that God had given to me, right? Don't waste your background, but also use your background so that God might be able to use it for His glory. And so we're going to look at some things as we move forward and look at some intentionalities through God that He has placed in our lives. And so we see this morning as we start the intentional fact that God brought you or is bringing you to salvation in Jesus Christ. And He is still intentionally leading you today on how and who you can minister to. And so when you begin to see God as a very intentional God, we begin to see the purpose that He has given to us in our life to bring glory to Him. And then as our statement, purpose statement is to direct people to the glory of God. God is very intentional. He wants every individual to glorify Him. And those that have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, He desires for us to direct people on how they can glorify Him. So I wonder this morning, as Elijah comes and plays the piano and we get ready for our time of invitation, are you 100% sure today that you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ alone? If you aren't, I would encourage you to come talk to me. I'd love to share with you the good news of the gospel. If you are, I wonder, have you tried to suppress your background and you begin to neglect all that God has set up for you here to minister in Lake Havasu City? Maybe you really haven't thought through what your purpose is, whether you're young or whether you're old. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you have a purpose today for the glory of God. And maybe today you need to ask God, God, what is my purpose as I leave the safety of these four walls and go into my family and my community? What is my purpose? And I promise you, if you will ask, God will lead you to exactly what He wants you to do with your life.
Hey, this is Pastor Rob. Before we end this time together, I just want to say thank you for taking your time to listen to this message. It is my prayer that today's message has helped you to see the glory of God just a little bit more. If you have questions about the good news of Jesus Christ, I would love to connect with you. The easiest way is to just jump over to the Connect section of our website and you can send me an email. If you live here in Lake Havasu and don't have a church home, I would love to meet you on an upcoming Sunday at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at our building on North Kiowa Boulevard.